I got it up to the point where you're talking about that car, and then I was asking you about, do you remember about coming back to the United States? What happened? You remember about the trip back and how you happened to come back and so on?
Oh, well, there wasn't nothing to that. They just, an old second-class troop ship pulled up out there in the bay, and they put you on it, and...
But you was over there a long time. You were sick and...
Well, I did. Yes, that was after I was passed out there, that is, with the old doctor said it was either tropical fever or bubonic plague. I think it was that plague. You can generally get that. There's very few people get over it that's supposed to be on the medal. It's on the medal record, that way. And I come to about 2 weeks, 3 after that. The first I remember is a little Negro baby outside the compound. His cry kept a crying, and it died first. I don't know, but then they gave me a medical survey, you know, and back to the States. And when I got back here, they put me through for a couple of weeks, and then gave me another job of driving a headquarters car after I got back there. And I was not expecting 3 weeks, something like that, and then the papers come out and let you go home. You know, you cease to be your boss when you get in there. That's what hurt me worse than anything else. But I made up my mind to start with, there wasn't nobody going to get behind the little brass buttons and make me mad, so I just grinned at them, by God. They got too tough and just put up with whatever happened.
All right, now let's, we're back here in the United States, and then did you come back and were you all done with school by that time?
Oh, yes. I come back. The Russell was the commander of the Isle down there. He called me and said, Tennessee, he said, if you leave in the West, I'll give birth to your gunnery sergeant and put you in charge of the radio engines. I said, Colonel, I wouldn't be enlisted. You'd make me a colonel. I'm going home and go some boss on the back and be home boss for a while. He just been down from there in the woods. The third head of officers on you. If you... And that was what I was doing, dealing with most times. Now, they just they were nice people if you didn't get... A new man now, the mill come in just for the war's sake. If you do your duty and do it like you do and do what you're supposed to do, there's nothing at all that you get along good.
Yeah,
you know.
Now, all right, what did you do when you came back here to the United States?
Well,
how'd you get here? Did you
come they trained. That is, we unloaded us there. And, I mean, I go on the train at Charleston and come right on through. That is.
Well, you come by boat from the.
Oh, you mean from the island?
Yeah.
They just sent a troop ship down there and picked up the.
Yeah.
Brought men down and picked
and
them.
And then you came home in the train.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of, a whole lot of troops on that train with you?
Oh, yeah, there's one man that can get in that Saul Turkey was. He enlisted with me. I'll say there's another funny thing about that. We didn't know any more about the army or anything and nothing. We took a notion we wanted to go, and we went over to Annapolis. And we went in at the Army Quarter and maybe getting a bunch of that stuff there. And we were arguing about it and went out on the street and didn't know what to do, and we seen something that said Marine Corps down there. And we went on down there and said, they're pretty nice, a good bunch of men in there. And they looked all right to us, so we just signed up for that. And we didn't know what we'd get men to no more than a rabbit that is at that time.
Now, we're getting back to the United States now. We came back to Crawfordsville, I suppose. And
yes.
And got on a train and came up to Darlington, I suppose.
Yes, to Linden. I got off at Linden.
Uh-huh. And there was a brass band out there to meet you when you...
Nobody ran or left, and nobody ran at the back.
All right. And what year was that you came back? You remember?
Late 19, I expect. I don't know. Do you have any idea?
Either that or 20. You was gone a long time. Nobody heard from you.
I never wrote home, but I never wrote.
Everyone was all upset about it. I remember, because he and my older brother were good friends. I grew up knowing that being here in the Hermsey home, their families visited. I know nobody heard from him, and everyone was kind of upset because they didn't hear from him, and he was the last one.
Well, we never got mailed down there very often.
He was the last of the boys that...
Then you waited 5 years to get married, huh?
Oh, I don't know. That is, I come back and...
Did you go to work here on the farm?
Oh, yes. My brother tried the whole thing together, but kind of having messed up. No, I come right on back and took over the hands and the machinery and
Well, what kind of machinery did you have? You didn't have tractors in those days, did you?
Oh, yeah. Our first tractors was a Ford tractor. We had five of them at one time.
What was the year that had been with your first tractor?
Now listen, we had a truck and a tractor. That must have been in the early 20s. I know it was the early 20s. It was probably 19. Whereas we had tractors soon after I got back here.
And did you have those kind of the big wheels and the spikes in them, or what were they?
Well, the first ones, yes, nearly all of them were spiked wheels. That is.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lots of them.
Were they gasoline power?
Oh, yes, that's all gasoline. Mm-hmm. Well, no, the first one was coal oil, but we got rid of them and went to gasoline power.
And when did you get the first coal oil tractor? When was that?
That must have been about... That had to have been in the 20s, in the early 20s. Mm-hmm. That is probably 20. That is, because we got them soon after I got back.
Mm-hmm. What other type of farm machinery did you have?
Oh, well, of course, at that farm machinery then, we didn't have the combine at that time, but we had the binder and the corn planter and all the horse-drawn machinery up till we got the tractor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people had tractors before that is, before I went to the Army, but we didn't have any till I got back and took over, and of course I was more or less a mechanic. And
where did you buy this equipment at that time?
Huh?
Where did you buy this equipment, like the tractors? Where did you buy that?
Well, at that time, every little town had a store, or there'd be one town maybe would have McCormick's and one dealer, and each, there'd always be a dealer there, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have nothing at all like it is now. Now, if you broke apart, you generally went, if you needed to, if the dealer didn't have it, you'd go to Indianapolis, and you could go in there either to McCormick or dealer, either one. And they would give you that part. Now, of course, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Now, your tractor, I think you said, was a Ford.
Yes, it was. Well, our first one was a Ford. We had five of them at one time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you had done mechanical work. What kind of work did you do?
Oh, I can do anything. I can take a tractor apart and put it together. Mm-hmm. Find all it.
Mm-hmm. I was a pretty good mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord, I...
What about the development of fine machinery in your time? What changes did you see take place?
Well, here now, I'll tell you. Would you like to know what it looked like from the start when you followed the cradle and bend the hand up till you got onto a $60,000 combine? Well, now the dad, when I was about 10 years old, now they had a binder then but didn't use it, but there was a patch of wheat in the place, and the binder couldn't get to him. He took me down there and he had a cradle, and he cradled that, and then he showed me how to bind it on a cradle.
Mm-hmm.
But then I come from that. Now the first was a thrashing machine. Now with the first thrashing machines, they were pulled by horses, and the engine was pulled by horses. They wouldn't have no motor power, and they didn't have no blower on, but the straw came out of the back end on a riddle, and they just come up like that and fell over, and then there was a couple of kids or somebody had a long pole with a horse on each end, and they'd drive under that blower like that and pull that straw out in the field. That was because it was soon gathered up till they'd have to move the machine, don't you see, so they could move the straw. And then we had the blower. And then we got the next improvement was the engine. They had pneumonia power on the engine, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted then, and then the combine came along. The first combine was very... they were pretty crude. It took one line after another. Probably the combine took 25 years before they really got into what you know now as a combine.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
did anybody around here ever have one of those old steam contraptions for tractors or for motor power?
Oh, good God, yes, I've spent years of helping thrash where they had the steam engine.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally got to the gas engine. They got
that was before the war, though.
What? That was after the war.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. After the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
A long time afterward.
But when did those steam ones started coming in?
The steam power came in. Yes, the steam power came in just after the... right about the time of the... I could be wrong on that. That steam power come in.
I grew up with cooking for
them. Yes, I picked on all wrong on that.
Mm-hmm. That goes back quite a bit with the thrashing machines.
But anyway, that's what happened. The first steam power came in was pulled the horses. The next was the motor power that's on, and it didn't build up. And that all started from the latter part of the 19th century. That was 1890 in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be about, that one I was telling you about, that'll be about, I couldn't have been much over 8 or 9 years old, let alone it back in the 1899, something like that. That's the first one, and then the other came in. And the first automobile came in along about something like that, too.
When did your family first have an automobile?
We didn't have an automobile for a long time. We didn't have an automobile, and mostly a lot of the country had automobiles before we did, because we had all other stuff, but...
We had a Mitchell back.
Huh?
We had them Mitchells.
Yes, your family had automobiles before we did.
Tom Gray.
It lived about...
Oh,
It must have been about 15 or something like that.
15.
But you had the Mitchell, you mean?
We did.
Yeah, no, but
what did you have then?
We bought an old Buick Buick the first time we had.
And you got it in the 20s?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about, tell us something about some of the happenings around this neighborhood. Any crimes around here that you remember back in the
day? Oh, nothing very important that I know of. Now, I belong to the, what they have, the Horse Thief Society, that is, the
Horse Thief Detective Association.
Yes, yes, Horse Thief Detective, I'm a member of that.
And what group are you a member of? Do they have chapters?
Oh, yes, yes.
What chapter were you in?
Oh, I forget the name of the chapter. It was, I've been held in the schoolhouse down here. Now, the way it worked, if anybody...
Okay. Huh? Let me get this on the tape here. You want to tell us about the First National Bank?
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. John Jackman came along. We sold us a farm down here, me and my brother. Well, we buy the money down there on 10th year. And we took over another farm too down there. My gosh, we had maybe come during the 30s. Money bag, I was scarce. So the whole story that one fellow said that a week before that, he had two automobiles running, taking people out looking for him, and said the week after that, he used them all on a wheelbarrow. So, one bank we tried to do, you know, we always got a minute if you're moving your old bank, and we had to pay $600. They said they'd let them renew us that loan if we'd give them $600, renew it at $600 more than what the... Well, I sent for 400. He's on the record down there.
Well, did you remove the note then?
Oh, yes, yes. And George, they were pretty nice about it. They didn't know that we had to stand part of the damage.
Well, see, now, we were talking about, I was asking you whether you remembered any crimes or any sudden events around here.
No, as far as that's concerned, there was thievery and other stuff going on, and with no particular.
If you were a member of the Horse Thief Detective Association,
and
it was down here at the little schoolhouse, did that association ever retrieve any horses?
As far as I know, there's never a horse show that I ever remember. There's lots of places they run now. I remember when we found people out, we got people that stole hogs and something beat, cattle like that, you know. But as far as the horses are concerned, horses at that time, if tractors were coming in, they were getting kind of scarce, you know.
You remember any, was there ever any crime out of this area at all?
No. Do you remember anything? I don't. Listen to it. This year, a country, after the last few years, just a certain number of families, and it just slid along there for a long time, and everybody knows everybody else, and if, one man's business or another man's business, if you tried to steal anything there or anything else, why, it's pretty hard to get by with.
Well, if you can't tell us about any crime, how about tell us about some scandal? How about some scandal? Didn't we ever have any scandal out in this area?
No, not too much. They either got paid off or got married, I guess. I really not much of any case, because you didn't hear much about it.
Now, back in the Depression, did Did anybody around here lose a farm?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, I can tell you all about that. In just a few years, just all written down there, and this right there, that is. That little duck right there, isn't it? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Now, I came back, and before I went, the war had started over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And we were selling tough goods. That is, the market was good on everything. And when I came back, then after the war was over, then corn and wheat, the farmers were rich. That is, they were getting rich. They bought a lot of the high price land and stuff, but they were getting rich. And the war got over, and then about the 1922 or 1923, something like that, things turned back. The Republicans didn't have brains enough to, they thought they'd get along without the farmer. They made that statement in Chicago. And they went along that way, but every time, it was hard on us, because every time you'd buy something, a line of stock or something, you'd buy a bargain, but just like cutting the dog tail off at a time after the gradual downslope of the demand left you either nothing or a loss. And they kept that way till the 29th or something like that, and the bottom fell out of it, out of the stock market. Now, if it fell out of it because those people were buying stock on the 10-cent margin,
yeah,
and they couldn't take it, and say the things went from bad to worse, and, well, guys, I'll tell you, we pretty near lost our farm. Now, it was that close, and the field.
Yeah. Anybody around here lose his farm?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Who lost his farm?
Well, Cutler lost their farms. Peterson lost most of their farms. Fishers lost their farms. Oh, well, now listen, all those families, what they've done, they live too high on the hog. They refuse to consider that gradual downslope that led them to in that. Now the banks loaned me and the brother too much money to start with. That is, during that time, the banks wanted to loan money. Well, they just said, well, just take a note, just sign it and send it back. That is, we'll take care of it, but when the time comes, they want to repay it. So, I didn't think about that again. What happened, John?
The farms were lost, and who bought those farms?
Well, I'll tell you, I can give you one demonstration up here, right up the road here on the Bowers farm. This farm was lost, that is, the Bowers, they couldn't take it. Well, it went into the hands of an insurance company. I think the insurance company was the one that held the mortgage on the farm. Well, they thought they were going to, that insurance company was in common with all. I mean, if you remember that insurance, them insurance companies at that time hired some farm managers and they bought a lot of stuff, they were going to farm it themselves. And they found out that by golly, they were going broke on that, and then anybody that they'd say, now if you take this land and pay the taxes and what you can on the interest, why, now, they took it over. Took it over for, you can get a farm for just going on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may seem kind of strange to you, but that happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if you dig into the record, you'll find out that's what happened.
Yeah, that's right. I know that. Now, let's see.
You mentioned about your mechanical work, anything?
Well, no, I've got a little stuff out there, but not very much. Generally, I created an idea and made it work, and they wrote me a thank you note for it. if they use it. That's about the problem with it. It never done me much good. And I soon found out that's the way it was going. So after that, I just made, if I wanted a machine, I'd wait till somebody bought a good one. And most people, if they paint roll a little and it broke down a little, you could buy that machine for little or nothing. And good God, I got a well, I can weld and do that kind of work. I can take that machine and recondition it and put it back in as good a shape as ever. I never bought a new machine in my life that way, because heck, you buy a good second-hand one that's been misused and work it over, and of course, time of year, I was like, if they got a really good machine, that went down there at 8-5, well, we let him have it, so he likes living to pay on, I think, but that never made no difference. He was going to be done no work. But that's the way of it.
Why don't we talk a little bit about this house here? This is a beautiful house. You say this was built about the time of the Civil War. Is all this walnut woodwork we see around here?
Well, I'll tell you, now, this here house here was built. I bought this house back to, there's a picture in that dining room in there. If you go in there and take someone and look at it, if they want to look at it. Now, I bought this house back to the original. See? Mm-hmm. Woodwork in here was all jammed up and wasn't no good. It had been mistreated. And there was paint on everything. I took the paint now. The paint saved.
It was used as a kitchen at one time, this room, before the turnip seeds came, and it did bother the woodwork a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's
all valid.
Now see, it's like it was with the sand. But when I come up here, there was 18 rooms.
18 rooms. Now there's the original house in 116 years ago. Boy, that was a beautiful house. Now, the wall that you see there now, and all that came out of an old barn, the hay mouth there, and the threshing floor, an old barn, a big white board. But we said, mill up outside here and cleaned them off. Me and Chester Cook and another old man and new boots.
But this is not the original woodwork then?
There is the original woodwork in those rooms there.
Oh, there's an upstairs, and just like there's a...
You can go look at it and see. Now, I cut the dies to cut this woodwork in here to match that in there.
And this is walnut here, though.
Yeah, that's the most of them.
That's
all a chair. I traded an old tractor for a truckload of cherry logs and had them sawed just ripped like that.
Let me see what I got here. I want to ask you about Potato Creek. Tell us about the origin of that name, Potato Creek.
I'll tell you, the Potato Creek, the name Potato Creek comes from the wild sweet potatoes.
And what was
all this ground here around here is subject to that, and the hogs we lived on them, and that's the same as Sugar Creek for this county. Now the Indian, this maple on here is the Indians. They tell me, I've heard it told many times, the Indian comes in here every spring and boils sugar water to get sugar, and the people, of course, naturally followed the same thing. Now I've seen lots of sugar camps. They're mostly around Darlington. I don't know why they call this Sugar Creek Township, but this is
potato creek, is wild potato. It grows in confusion around here. We had an awful time with them to start when, before we got these 2,4-D and stuff like that to kill them. By God, they just, you grow up there and try to plow corn. And
what about Live Creek, Mr. Tennessee?
That's the same thing. Live Creek, it comes out of that pretty little ground down there, but the land that, well, we used to farm that for years.
The Durham Farm?
Mm-hmm.